health over any sickness, any disease that you have been previously diagnosed with. Let me just speak God's blessing and his favor over that. Let me speak God's blessing over your finances now in the name of Jesus. As you are obedient to the Lord with your finances, may the blessings of the Lord be upon your finances. Let me speak a blessing over your mind, the capacity of your mind to intake and to receive of the word of God, the fruit of God, the functionality of God. I just speak that over you now. In the name of Jesus, somebody say, I receive.
I receive.
Put your hands in a receiving motion right here. Put your hands like. Put your hands like. Somebody say, I receive, Lord.
Receive.
Of the word of the day.
The word of the day.
Whatever you have for me.
Whatever you have.
Has been specifically designed and destined.
For
this day.
For this day.
April 29th. 2018. Amen and amen and amen. Well, today, church, I have a treat for you. He's a spiritual son of the house. As I told him earlier today, in this house, I don't often get an opportunity to do this, whereas I can actually eat of the word. Most of the time, I'm delivering the word, I'm preaching the word. But today, I'm going to have an opportunity to eat from a spiritual son whom God has used mightily in this house. And so I want to bring Minister Bill Dungy out right now. Can y'all welcome? He's a son of the house. Welcome Minister Bill here today. This is, you know what, and this takes away from none of my other sons, because I say this about all of them. He's one of my best sons. I say that about all of the spiritual sons, but he truly, truly is. This man carries such a level of brokenness and humility. He's such an honorable, honorable man. Many of you all know his lovely wife, Erica, is my wife and I's personal assistant. She is amazing as well. So we've got a power-packed team up here. You all have witnessed God's going to use this man mightily. And I want you to get your spirits ready to receive of him today. Amen. Hallelujah. Church family.
Hallelujah.
Can you stretch your hands forth?
Hallelujah.
If you would. Jesus, we thank you that you have anointed and appointed this man of God to deliver the word today. Father, we bless him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Father, let what you have prepared in Minister Bill's life today, may it simply explode.
Hallelujah.
From his womb. That may we be in a receiving position today so that we can grow, thrive, strengthen ourselves in a mighty, mighty way. Father God, as a body of Christ in this church, we bless him and we prepare to receive of this word in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen and
amen.
Give God some praise right now. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Today, I just want to thank God for another opportunity to stand before him and to stand before his people to serving and delivering this word. As Pastor said, I believe it's an on-time word. And I believe it's a word that's going to bless you all this morning. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So let's get right to it. You got your Bibles ready? Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter, 24 through the 27th verse.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the storm winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the storm winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Hallelujah. Before you take your seat, can you turn and ask someone to say, when the storm comes, are you anchored in the rock?
Are you anchored in the
Hallelujah. Let's say that. Let's ask that question one more time. When the storm comes, are you anchored in the rock? Amen. You may have your seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you anchored in the rock? That is the title of my sermon this morning. It is entitled Anchored in the Rock. And in that question today, my objective for today is to describe and give you some detail about three words: storms, anchor, and the rock. Amen. And as we go on, well, you can see, you'll see that I'm not talking about the rock, the big guy who's in all the movies. We're talking about a better rock. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let me give you a little comparison to start off. Storms. We all know there's natural storms and there's spiritual storms. Some details about natural storms. A natural storm is any disturbed state of the environment marked by wind and usually rain, snow, hail, sleet, thunder, lightning. Natural storms can vary in their in their duration, intensity, and the amount of damage it can do to a particular area. Natural storms have the potential to harm lives and property, costing billions of dollars in damage every year. Similar to a natural storm, a spiritual storm can be described as a disturbance in the spiritual realm, which consequently manifests itself in our everyday lives of the individual. A spiritual storm may manifest itself in the form of a broken marriage, a serious illness or disease, crippling accident, financial hardship, or death or devastation of a loved one. Amen? Now I want to take a little bit of time and give you some characteristics of spiritual storms. First, spiritual storms are impartial. What does that mean? Spiritual storms have no respect of person. I'm here to tell you today, if you are alive and living, you will experience a storm in your life. Can I get a witness to that? It doesn't matter your race, your sex, your background, how much money you make, how much money you don't make, your education level, you are going to go through a storm at some point in your life. Amen? So spiritual storms are impartial. Number two, spiritual storms are unpredictable. They're unpredictable. I'm gonna give you some ways that they are unpredictable. They are unpredictable in their timing. Spiritual storms can occur at any time. Don't we wish that every time we were about to go through a storm, that we knew exactly when that storm was coming? That, as my mother would say, we could gird up our loins and get ourselves ready for the storm that we're about to go through, but it doesn't work that way. Many times, storms come at the blink of an eye. Amen? I will say, though, as we mature and as we become more like Christ, God will give us discernment of the seasons of storms that we go through. Amen? I can think about Jesus when he was telling the disciples, he said, when you feel a wind coming from the south, you know it's going to be warm that day. Amen? When you feel a wind coming from the north, you know it's going to be cold. So in the same way, as we would mature and walk closer with God, we can have discernment of the seasons in life and know that storms can be upon us, but many times we don't know the exact timing that a storm will hit. Amen? Number two, storms are unpredictable in their intensity. I think in the natural realm, tornadoes. Tornadoes are their intensity is kind of on a scale of F1 to F5. They call it the Fujita scale, where F1 tornado winds can range anywhere between 50 to 70 miles an hour up to an F5 where you have winds and hail and everything in excess of 300 miles an hour. It's the same way in our spiritual lives. Storms can be a nuisance in our lives, or storms can be so intense that they bring you to your knees, crippling. Amen? Storms are also unpredictable in their duration. Amen? Storms can last a few days, or they can last a few years, even a decade. Amen? But I'm here to tell you today, the great thing about God and our spiritual storms, every storm has an expiration date. That's the one thing that we can take solace in, and we can thank God for it, is no matter how long the storm may be lasting, even in the midst of the storm, you know that every storm has an expiration date. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. Amen? Number four, storms are unpredictable in their frequency. Amen. Frequency. How often storms come. I think about in the natural, we have Tornado Alley, right? The Midwest. They get over 100 tornadoes a year. We think about the East Coast and all the hurricanes they have. There's frequency of storms all over. Amen. And it's the same way in our lives. We don't know. There's different levels and there's different frequencies of how many storms. Minister Brian may go through 10 storms in 2018. I may only go through one. Amen. But there's different frequencies of storms, how many storms you're going to go through. Amen. The Bible says that God is a just God, right? He doesn't say he's a fair God. There's many times if we look at it, we say, why do I have to go through all these storms? Right? Minister Glenn isn't going through a storm. Many times you don't know what Minister Glenn is going through. There could be a storm raging in his life and you not even know it. Something our bishop told us in our training, he said, three C's, we are never to compare, never to compete, never to critique. Amen? And that blessed me so much. And I thought about it in a storm. Many times you're going through things. You're in the storms of life. The storms of life are raging. And you want to ask God, why? Why do I keep going through this? Amen? But the word to us today is we are not to compare ourselves. Amen? And we'll show you how we can go through those storms and get understanding of that a little later. Amen? Amen. The third characteristic of a spiritual storm is that all spiritual storms are meaningful. They have meaning. They have purpose. There's an objective to your spiritual storm. And that should excite you. Even though you got to go through it, know that you're not just going through it to go through it. There's not a storm raging in your life just because. Amen? There is a purpose and a reason for every storm that we go through. And the greatest thing about that is that every storm is filtered through the hands of God. It's filtered through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we know in going through that storm, you are never left out there alone. Amen? You are never left out there to drown and be overcome by the storms of life. They are filtered through the hands of God. And there is a purpose and destiny for every storm that you experience in your life. That should make you feel good. Because even if you're going through a storm right now, know that it's building something inside of you. It is pushing you towards your purpose and your destiny. Amen? Amen. So in saying that, let's look at three objectives of a spiritual storm. Now that we know that a spiritual storm always has meaning, there's always an objective, there's always a purpose for you going through that spiritual storm, let's look at three objectives of a spiritual storm. Number one, spiritual storms are brought on to correct us. Correction. Amen? Amen. Storms of correction are spiritual storms God allows in our lives in order to alter sinful or disobedient behavior in our lives. Amen? Amen. We can't do whatever we want to do. It would be great if you could just accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and start walking and live any way you want to. It doesn't work like that. There's sometimes that God will allow storms in your life to correct those behaviors to get you back on the path. Amen? Let's go to the first chapter. Jonah, the first chapter, we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and we'll skip down 8 through 17. Amen? Jonah, it says, the Lord sent this message to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and give them this announcement from the Lord. I am going to destroy you, for your wickedness rises before me and it smells to the highest heaven. But Jonah was afraid to go and ran away from the Lord. He went down to the seacoast, to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board and climbed down into the dark hold of the ship to hide from the Lord. But as the ship was sailing along, suddenly the Lord flung a terrific wind over the sea, causing a great storm that threatened to send them to the bottom. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw their cargo overboard to lighten the ship. And all this time, Jonah was sound asleep in the hold. Let me pause right there. Amen. Jonah is in direct disobedience to God. Amen. And the word of God says that God, as Jonah is trying to run away, God allows a storm to come over the sea. And this storm is so strong that everyone is fearing for their lives. And Jonah, the culprit of the whole thing, what is he doing? He's at the bottom of the ship asleep. The men on the ship, going to verse 8, yell out, "What have you done?" they ask, "to bring this awful storm upon us? Who are you? What is your work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" They broke it down. They said, "Jonah, tell us everything about yourself." Because the rest of us are scrambling. We've already, in the verses before that, they've already kind of identified and talked about where they were from and who their God was, and they couldn't identify why this storm was upon them. But there was one person in the bowels of the ship asleep. So they said, "It must be Jonah." Amen? And Jonah said, "I am a Jew. I worship Jehovah, the God of heaven, who made the earth and the sea." Then he told them he was running away from the Lord. The men were terribly frightened, and they heard when they heard this, "Oh, why did you do this?" they shouted. "What should we do to stop this storm? For it was getting worse and worse." Jonah replies, Throw me into the sea, and it will become calm again. For I know this terrible storm has come because of me." They tried harder to row the boat ashore, but couldn't make it. The storm was too fierce for them to fight against. Then they shouted out a prayer to Jehovah, Jonah's God. "Oh, Jehovah," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin. Don't hold us responsible for his death, for it is not our fault. You have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Hallelujah. Then they picked up Jonah and threw him overboard into the raging sea, and the storm stopped. The men stood there in awe before Jehovah, and they sacrificed him and vowed to serve God Jehovah. Amen? So look at a couple things. Number one, as I said, Jehovah was in direct disobedience. He was directly defiant to God and his will. Amen? And God allowed a storm to come and to correct his behavior. But I thought there were some interesting things about this. The Bible says that as long as Jonah stayed on the ship, the storm increased in intensity and it increased in duration. Amen? The word of God to us today is that as you continue to experience storms of correction, the longer you stay in defiance of what God has for you, the longer you stay in defiance of his will, the longer you stay in defiance and sin, the longer the duration of the storm of correction. Amen? And here's the amazing thing, and the higher the intensity. Amen? Have any of us, if you want to be honest, been through a storm of correction? And many times what I've experienced in my life, many times is anger and unforgiveness or those storms that bring on the storms of correction. Because we just don't want to let it go. We say to God, "I have a reason to be mad. I have a reason to be angry. So-and-so hurt me. They left me. They did me wrong." Amen? And things begin to happen in our lives. But many times if we will just stop and ask for forgiveness and look to God and say, "God, here I am. I'm sorry and I repent." God is such a graceful God that the Bible says that the storm ended immediately. Once they took Jonah, symbolizing repentance, and threw him into the water, the storm ended immediately. So I'm here to tell you today, if you're going through a storm, if you will ask God, "Search my heart, is there anything in my heart that is not like you? Is there anything that's going on that is against your purpose and will, Lord God? Forgive me and turn away." And God, the Bible says that God, our God, is a faithful and just God to forgive us of all of our sins and all of our unrighteousness. Amen? He's a faithful and just God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a loving God, and when we confess our sins, the Bible says that God is faithful and just. Amen? And he will forgive us. Here was another great point about this story. It says that Jonah's storm of correction, all right? Jonah's storm of correction not only saved him, but it said that the men that were on the ship, what did they do? They started praying to Lord Jehovah. They started praying to God, and not only did it correct Jonah's sinful behavior, it corrected it. It saved the men on the ship. And so I'm here to tell you, many times your storm of correction not only will correct things in your life, but it will correct things in the lives of people around you. Amen. Hallelujah. Many times we are praying for different things, maybe in our children, our loved ones, our spouses, and God wants to correct some things in us. Many times the storms that God allows in our lives to correct us will also correct the many things that you're praying for and those around them. around you. Amen? Amen. So God will allow storms of correction. I want to say storms of correction are not punishment for sin. Hear me out. It is not punishment for sin. There is only one punishment for sin. That is death, spiritual death, separation from God. Your sins are only judged one time. Christ has already died for all your sins. The storms of correction are exactly what it said, to redirect you, to correct those things in your life. God is not punishing. The word of God in Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs 3:12, says what? It says, the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a parent corrects the child or daughter, the son or daughter that he delights in. Amen? God corrects you because he loves you, not to punish you. Amen? That's good. If you get an understanding, revelation on it, that's good. It's not the God is not walking around looking to punish us. He loves us and he wants to correct us and make us more and more like him. Amen? Amen. The second objective of a spiritual storm is perfection. Amen? So now we're going to see, not every storm that you go through, Pastor spoke on this last week with the story of Job. Not every storm you go through is your fault or result of some sin or unconfessed sin in your life. Amen? Storm of perfection. Storms of perfection are spiritual storm God allows in our lives in order to enable us to grow more like him in a particular area of our lives. Simple as that. It has nothing to do with your behavior. It's God wanting to grow you more and more like him. Let's look at a famous storm in the Bible. Let's go to Mark, the 4th chapter, the 35th through the 41st verse. Storm. Amen? It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go across to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and began to fill it with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and shouted, "Teacher, don't you care if we're about to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the wave, "Silent, be still." In the King James Version, it says, "Peace, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Don't you still have faith? Do you still have no faith?" Excuse me. The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." Amen. Let's take a pause right there, and I want to go back and kind of look at and take into context what's going on here in the scripture here. So before this storm happens, Jesus has just called his 12 disciples. He's pulled them away from the multitude, and he's called them out, and he begins to teach them in small groups and really teach them about who he is and starts to reveal some things about the kingdom of God. He goes on and he gives his famous Sermon on the Mount, where he preaches and gives the foundation of our Christian walk. And then right before they go out onto the Sea of Galilee where their storm happens, he heals a widow's son. Amen. He brings the widow's son back from the dead. So I wanted to put that in perspective of what's going on. So then they go out on the sea, and this large storm begins to rage. Amen. The Bible says it was so strong that the wind was howling and the water started to fill the small ship that they were on. And it says that Jesus was sound asleep in the back of the boat with his head on a pillow. Amen. And he wakes up as the disciples are frantically running around in panic and asking Jesus, "Why aren't you saving us? How can you sleep at a time like this?" Amen. Any of us ever go through a storm and that's kind of your attitude? God, why aren't you moving? Lord, why aren't you saying anything? This storm is raging in my life. I'm going through hell and high water. My kids are acting up. My marriage is broken. My finances are broke. Why aren't you stepping in and saying anything? And what was Jesus' response? Verse 39, it says, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silent, be still." Amen? Greek word for wind. So Jesus rebuked the wind. The Greek word for wind, anemo, meaning a gust of air, something with gusting or storm-like force. It comes from the Latin root word, which of a namos, meaning to give life, to make alive, spiritual. Amen? Keep that in mind. Secondly, it says Jesus spoke to the waves. Greek word for waves, kuma, meaning a surge to swell or to torment or torture. Think about what Jesus did. The disciples are in fear. The winds are blowing. The waves are crashing. Jesus jumps up and immediately speaks. It says he rebukes the wind and speaks to the wave. What was Jesus there? He was dealing with that spirit of fear that had overcome the disciples. Amen? What he was saying was, I've just talked to you. I've just spoken with you. I've been teaching you for about a year now. You just saw me do miracles. Amen? You saw me raise different ones from the dead. You saw me heal different ones. How can you be afraid and I am right with you? Amen? Hallelujah. So that's a testament to us today. How can we be afraid when Jesus is right with us? Even though the spirit of fear may be trying to speak to us, right in the midst of our storm, we can say to that storm, peace be still. Amen? Be silent. So what Jesus did, he rebuked the wind, the howling wind that was giving life to the spirit of fear. The word of God says God did not give us a spirit that is afraid, but a spirit that is powerful, that is loving, and of a sound mind. Amen? So right now, I just speak over everyone here. I bind the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. That spirit of fear that will cause you to be afraid when you're going through your different trials and tribulations. That spirit of fear that will want to overtake you to keep your mouth closed from speaking the word of God in the name of Jesus. Just as Jesus said, in the middle of the storm, we can say, peace be still. Hallelujah. 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 The disciples were not in the wrong for calling on Jesus to help them. Their request shows that they had faith in that Jesus could save them. But it was their fear that Jesus was trying to address. They were in panic when they came to him, not in confidence. They had been with Jesus for over a year now, and they should have had more confidence after hearing his teachings and seeing his miracles. Therefore, Jesus allowed a storm of perfection to strengthen their faith and trust in him. Amen? That's what the storm of perfection does. It perfects those things in us. God may be trying to teach you about being long-suffering, having more patience. Many times God will allow a storm of patience in your life. Amen? To perfect that specific thing in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. The third objective of spiritual storms is protection. Storms of protection. Storms of protection are spiritual storms God allows in our lives in order to protect us from turning away from or forgetting those things of which he has taught us. Amen? Storms of protection. Let's go to another story of a storm here. Mark the 6th chapter. We're going to read the 45th through the 52nd verse. Very similar situation. It says, immediately Jesus told his followers to get in the boat and go ahead of him to Bethesda across the lake. He stayed there to send the people home. After sending them away, he went into the hills to pray. That night, the boat was in the middle of the lake and Jesus was alone on land. He saw his followers struggling hard to row the boat because the wind was blowing against them. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the water and he wanted to walk past them. But when they saw him walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost and cried out. They all saw him and were afraid, but quickly Jesus spoke to them and said, have courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he got in the boat with them, and the wind became calm, and the followers were greatly amazed. They did not understand about the miracle of the 5 loaves because their minds were closed. Hallelujah. So very similar situation now. We saw the story before where Jesus calms a storm on the water. Here we are, the disciples face themselves in a similar situation. This time, Jesus is not on the boat with them. Jesus is on land, and the Bible says he's praying as the disciples go out, and a storm begins to rage. Another strong storm. Once again, the wind is howling. The winds are blowing hard. The waves are crashing against the ship. The ship is beginning to fill with water. The disciples are frightened again. Amen? But Jesus responds a little bit differently this time. Amen. He does not rebuke the wind. He does not rebuke the disciples. What does he say to them? He just says, have courage, it is I. He gets in the boat and the storm ceases. Amen. We're talking about protection. Keep this in mind. Let's go back and see, and put into context what happened right here before the storm. Let's go back to Mark 6. We're going to read verses 30 through 44. It says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all about the things that they had done and taught. Crowds of people were coming and going so that Jesus and his followers did not even have time to eat. He said to them, come away by yourselves. We will go to a lonely place to get some rest. So they went in the boat. So they went in a boat by themselves to a lonely place, but many people saw them leave and recognized them. So from all the towns, they ran to the place where Jesus was going, and they got there before him. And when he arrived, he saw a great crowd awaiting. He felt sorry for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When it was late in the day, his followers came to him and said, no one lives in this place, and it is already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the countryside and in the towns around here to buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, we would have to work a full month to earn enough money to buy enough bread. Amen? You with me? We're going to finish this out. Jesus asked them, how many loaves of bread do you have? Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Then Jesus told his followers to have the people sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat in groups of 50 to 100, and Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he thanked God for the food. He divided the bread and gave it to his followers for them to give to the people. Then he divided the 2 fish among them, and all the people ate and were satisfied. The followers filled 12 baskets with the leftovers, pieces of bread and fish, and there were 5,000 men who ate that day. So why did I give that story? Let's look at what happened. As I told you before, Jesus responded totally different during this storm than he did in the previous storm. Amen? And I'm here to tell you today, the reason was because Jesus was trying to protect them from something rather than perfect something in them. What was he trying to protect them from? And this is what he tries to protect us from in all of our storms of protection. I want to do a little exercise. Everyone put up your thumb like this. Stretch that thumb out, all the way out. Turn it back. Who does that thumb pointing at? The storms of protection is to protect you from yourself. Amen? Jesus here was trying to protect the disciples from themselves. Why? Look at what happened before in the previous scripture when Jesus feeds the 5,000. In verse 45, it says, in verse 30, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and told him about all the things they had done. What is the Bible talking about there? Jesus had just sent the disciples out 2 by 2. And the word of God says that the disciples went out healing the sick, preaching the word, casting out demons. And what did the disciples? Disciples come back and they're telling Jesus about all they have done. Amen? They're happy. Lord, look what we did. We healed this person. We raised this one from the dead. We spoke in your name. Amen? Another clue here. It says that the crowds of people were coming and going so that Jesus and his followers did not even have time to eat. Amen? It says, but many people saw them leave and recognized them. Uh-oh. Crowds are starting to build around. Amen? They're recognizing the disciples. Disciples are starting to become famous. They're starting to feel themselves a little bit. Amen? So it's so amazing. And then Jesus says what? The disciples come to him and he says, Jesus, we need to send everyone home because they need to eat. And what does Jesus say? You feed them. What do the disciples say? Basically, what they said is, we're not waiters. We've been out doing your will, Lord God. We've been out healing the sick. We've been out raising from the dead. We're not waiting on people. And it's so funny. Jesus corrects them. He feeds the people. And what does he do? He tells them immediately, go get in the boat. And it was almost, I thought of it similar to what I'll do to my son. We're out somewhere and he's acting up and I'm talking to him. Before I'm going to go home and get him, I just said, go get in the car, Chris. Just go get in the car. And it was so amazing. I saw the same thing as Jesus. He's starting to see this spirit of pride and arrogance start to come upon the disciples. And what does it say? He tells them to go get in the boat, but Jesus goes alone to pray. Amen? And we see that throughout Scripture. After Jesus ministering, after him performing miracles, many times he does what, Minister Brian? He goes alone and he prays. Because what? He has to protect himself from that spirit of pride that wants to attach. Amen? So what he does is he leaves the disciples and he wants to show them, go ahead, there's a storm of protection coming. So they get in the ship and they're out in the ship and the storm begins to rage. This time Jesus is not with them. And what they have to realize is they can do nothing on their own. They can do nothing by themselves. Last time they overcame the storm, why? Because Jesus was on the ship. Hallelujah. Jesus, this time they had to wait until God, Jesus came. And he was able to, once he stepped into the boat, the Bible says what? The storm ceased. And it's the same way in our lives. Don't, after God delivers you and he brings you through storms, amen. Maybe it's a storm of financial despair. And then you're at a point where your credit was bad and everything was going wrong in your life and you couldn't pay your bills and now God has blessed you. You got a new car. You got a new home. And the word of God is saying, don't forget, it wasn't you that got you through that storm. It was Jesus Christ himself that brought you through. Amen. And similar to the disciples, when you come through that storm, it's for you to go back and help someone else go through their storm. Amen. So Jesus told the disciples, you feed them. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the disciples started, they started to feel themselves and they started to build a reputation. Amen. And they were saying, my reputation is not as a waiter. We're apostles. We're about doing the work of apostles. Amen. But I'm here to tell you today that God is not concerned about your reputation. Amen. It says, God is not concerned about protecting your reputation. He is concerned about protecting your purpose. Many times you will go through things, it may cause embarrassment, and you can say, God, how can you? He's not worried about protecting your reputation. See, your reputation, amen, is carnal. Your reputation is about here on earth. Your purpose is eternal. It's spiritual. Amen. Your reputation is about your past, where your purpose is about your future. Amen. I can think of a story, Minister Brian, where Jesus was before the high priest. And they started to attack his reputation. They started to say things like, you got a reputation as a troublemaker. You got a reputation as a blasphemer. You got a reputation of saying things that aren't true. And the Bible says that Jesus just stood there and he didn't say a word. He didn't even correct them. Until what? It says that the high priest said this, you're not going to say anything? You're just going to sit there and let us say these things? He says, I beseech you, are you the Son of God? And when that happened, Jesus rose up. He said, those aren't my words, but those are your words. But I tell you, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God and coming back to get his people. Amen. And I'm paraphrasing there. But in essence, what Jesus was saying, I'm not worried about my reputation. But when you start to speak to my purpose and my destiny, that's when it gets serious. Amen. So many times, God will allow storms of protection in your life to protect the purpose and destiny that he has placed down inside of you. Amen. And you may be going through things. And as I said, it may be trying on you. It may make you look bad in those situations. People may be saying negative things. Hallelujah. Sister Janice thinks she's all that. She thinks she can do this. She thinks she can sing so well. But when people attack your purpose, God will step in and justify you every time. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the third objective of spiritual storms is for your protection and to protect you from yourself, to keep you from falling in the spirit of pride, arrogance. Amen. Thinking you're better than people. Amen. Amen. You should, what the disciples did wrong, they had forgot about the storm that they had just gone through. And many times that's what happened. We come through the storm and we forget the storms of the past. So God will just heat up the fire a little. He'll allow it. Let me correct that, because God does not make the storm. He allows the storms in our lives. Amen. But he'll allow that storm just to protect you from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Three objectives of the storms: to correct, perfect, and to protect. Hallelujah. So in closing here, how do we successfully navigate the spiritual storms in our lives? I want to answer that question for us. Amen. And what do I mean by success? Success is the way Jesus handled the storms. If we think about the first example I gave you, what was Jesus doing in the back of the boat as the storm was raging? He was asleep, which means that he was at peace in the midst of the storm. So what I mean by how do you successfully navigate storms in life, it means that even though the storms are raging, you're at peace. You have peace in the midst of the storm. That doesn't mean everything is going well. You could have fear trying to attack you and still be at peace. You could be experiencing death and loss and still have peace. You could be experiencing the worst storm of your life, but still experience peace in the midst of the storm. Amen? That's how God wants us to experience storms. Because as I said before, you're going to experience storms, but how you navigate those storms is the key. Hallelujah. So here are the ways three ways in which we successfully navigate the spiritual storms in our lives. Number one, establish/perfect your spiritual fundamentals. The reason why I have established/perfect, for some of us, you're just establishing. You're starting from ground zero. You have to build your spiritual fundamentals. Amen? I can remember playing college basketball. In high school, many of us would play. High school was pretty easy. I was pretty much quicker, faster than everybody. You just blow past them, make a layup. When I got to college, though, people, as our coach used to say, everybody in college was one of the best, if not the best player on their team. So the competition level goes up. So what happened is we would have things called individual practices. So you'd have your normal practice, but you would have individual practice where you and maybe one other person would go with your position coach, and all you worked on was your fundamentals. All you did for 45 minutes was dribble, shoot, pass. Dribble, shoot, pass. Tons of drills and skills to work on your fundamentals. Because why? Your fundamentals are tested in the heat of battle. Amen? So when I'm saying establish or perfect your spiritual fundamentals, storms will push you to your level of preparation. Amen? Storms will push you to the level of your preparation. If you do not have spiritual fundamentals in place, you will never have peace in the midst of the storm. So what are some of these fundamentals? Amen? First, scripture reading. If you try to get in your word, get in the Bible, once the storm starts, that storm will be so loud and raging, many times it's impossible. Amen? Scripture reading. There's three types of scripture reading that we should do. Number one, study. Studying scriptures allows us to store the lessons of God in our hearts. Reading these stories in the Bible, really internalizing those stories and getting an understanding of what God is trying to say. Now, you're not studying the scripture as pastor would do to maybe preach on a Sunday morning, but you're studying it for yourself. What is God saying to me? Amen? Number two, meditation on God's word. What does that allow us to do? Meditation on scripture helps us to memorize scripture and brings revelation. Many times when you're in the midst of the storm, you don't have time to go back. You better have a word of God. You better have a scripture in your heart that you can pull on. If it's nothing more than peace be still, you need to have a word in your heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Just as Jesus came to the disciples, he is the word. Amen? He was able to speak a word and just say silent. He was able to speak a word and just say, don't fear, for I am he. Amen? Thirdly, declaring. Declaring, professing, and affirming scripture puts God's words into action. Hallelujah. Right in the midst of the storm, you can quote the scripture, for God has not given me the spirit that is of fear, but a spirit that is loving, that's powerful, and sound. Right in the midst, you can put God's word into action. All of you should have a proclamation ready to go. Right when Satan wants to rage that storm in your life, you should have a proclamation ready to go. Okay, devil. I'm the head and not the tail. I am strong and not weak. I am rich and I'm not poor. I'm successful and not a failure. I'm a man of valor, of integrity, of wisdom, knowledge, and under. You should be ready to go right at that point, speaking God's word back to him. Amen? Scripture reading. That's one of our first fundamentals you must have in place. Number two, prayer. Prayer. You can't go without this fundamental in your life. The fundamental of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says what? Pray without ceasing. Very simple. Listen to this quote from a book that has blessed me so much called The Spiritual Disciplines. It says, prayer catapults us unto the frontier of the spiritual life. Of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father. Real prayer is life-creating and life-changing. To pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we are unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer. My God, prayer has to be a part of your fundamental. Amen? It has. The Bible says pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean you have to be praying out loud 24/7. It means but always be in constant communication with the Father. That's all prayer is. It's just communication with your Holy Father. At any moment's time, you should always, I've asked God to help me to take that in perspective and put that in every part of my life. I thought about it. What if we actually prayed God about what to eat, what to wear, where to go, what car to drive, where to live? What if we really involved God in every aspect of our lives? How much more blessed would we be? How much more success would we have in our lives if we really prayed without ceasing? Amen? It doesn't have to be some deep prayer. Simple communication with the Father. Hallelujah. Successful navigation of spiritual storms. Also, fasting has to be one of your fundamentals. Amen? You have to be able to fast. What is fasting? To abstain from food or certain activities for religious purposes. Amen? David wrote, he said, I humble my soul in fasting. Fasting reveals the things in us that control you. Amen? We have to fast. And I know in the new age, people are adding things. People are fasting social media, fasting different things. That's all well and good. But you should add a food proponent to your fasting. Because taking away the food, it lets you know, as Jesus says, men does not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen? So fasting should be part of your fundamental. Hallelujah. Second way we navigate the storms of life is that we affirm our faith with praise. I told you at the beginning of the sermon that I wanted to define and clarify for you three words. Storms, I think we've adequately done that. The next one was anchor. I'm here to tell you this morning, your anchor is your faith. Your anchor is your faith. Amen? So we affirm, you affirm your praise or you affirm your anchor in praise. Amen. No matter where you're going through or what you're going through or where you're at in a storm, you have to praise your way through it. And that can be the hardest thing to do. But in the midst of the storm, you have to praise your way through it. Amen? I can think of Isaiah when he said, put on the what? The garment of praise for the spirit of what? Heaviness. What he is saying is when you're in your heaviest times, those most desperate times, you're feeling like you're all alone, is lift up your eyes, lift up your hands, and send praises to the Father. You will be amazed how that spirit of heaviness, that spirit of doubt and fear will lift just like that. Amen? James says, I count it all joy when I fall into various kinds of trials and tribulations and storms. Amen. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what's going on, no matter how hard or intense or long the storm keeps on raging, amen, we will lift up our hands and praise. Hallelujah. Lastly, we successfully navigate the spiritual storms in our lives by placing our anchor, which I told you is our faith, and the solid rock who is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We place our anchor in the solid rock who is Jesus Christ. Go to Psalms 18:2. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, on whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I want to close with telling you a story, one more storm story from the Bible. Amen. I recall in Acts the 27th chapter, the Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome. He has been pleading his case, and he has demanded that he see Caesar to plead his case in Rome. And the Bible says that the Romans grant his wish, and they send him off to Rome, and he gets into the ship. Amen? And on their way to Rome, another storm begins to wage. And this storm, similar to the storm that the disciples were in, once again, strong winds are blowing. The Bible says that the winds and the waves were crashing so hard that the sailors on the ship took ropes and tied it around the ship just to hold it together. Amen? And the winds are blowing. But at one point, they even stopped the ship on a small island below land, and it says in Crete. And Paul, during that time, he had a vision from God. And God began to speak to him through an angel. And the angel said, this storm will not be unto death. You will make it to see Caesar. Amen? So Saul gets back on the boat, and the winds and the waves begin to intensify. The storm becomes stronger and stronger, to the point the Bible says there was over 270 men on the ship. They begin to contemplate suicide. They're saying, we're going to just jump out of the ship and let's see if we can make it to land. They start to throw all the cargo out of the ship. They start to throw all the equipment out of the ship. But Paul lets them know, stay in the ship, because I had a vision from God. The angel of God told me we will be saved. The ship may perish. We may lose all our equipment, all of our supplies. Amen. But stay in the ship. Furthermore, they begin to worry and fret. And the Bible said they had gone 2 weeks without even eating. And Paul said to them, don't worry, here, take something to eat. You need to eat something to build your strength. The Bible says that the winds got so bad that they took four anchors and they dropped the anchors into the ocean or the lake in order to stabilize the ship. Amen? And it started to remind me, as I started to think about, this is many times what we do in our lives. Amen? The storms rage. It gets so bad that we want to commit spiritual suicide. We want to give up on God. Say, Lord, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to continue to struggle and be in a place where it doesn't seem like I'm moving on? But God is saying today that there's purpose and destiny, and I've already said, you will make it to your place that I've destined for you. And I thought it was, and God gave me this illustration that in the natural, the sailors took their anchors and dropped them down. But what did Paul do? Paul took his anchor, which is his faith, and he sent his up. And he said, my anchor is in the rock. The Lord Jehovah, Jesus Christ, my Savior, will get me to the place that he has already told me I am destined to be. Amen? Can we stand on our feet as I get ready to close? Hallelujah. So just as Paul, on his way to Rome, and the storm is raging, I'm here to encourage you today, place your anchor, place your faith in the rock, who is Jesus Christ. There is no spiritual storm too strong. There is no spiritual storm too long that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can't get you through. Amen? For these storms are made to protect you, to correct you, and to perfect you. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give God a hand in the name of Jesus. Let's give God a hand in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand in the name of Jesus. See, the reality of this is, as Pastor says, that you're always in three places in your life. Either you're in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. So I'm here to tell you today, at either place, that the rock, place your anchor, your faith in the rock, who is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The storms keep on raging in
Opportunity. First, understanding that the rock, the foundation, who is Jesus Christ, is the only one who can get you through the storm. But here's the key. If you have no relationship with Jesus Christ, then you don't have a solid foundation to which to stand on. So I want to give the opportunity to anyone this morning who may be in the place who don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Would you have the courage to step out to your seat and just meet us at the altar so you can meet the solid rock, the foundation who is Jesus Christ, to put your faith and anchor in. Amen. Is there one? Hallelujah. Is there one? Hallelujah. Continue to play that. I do want to give an opportunity to anyone. I'm just hearing God who's been dealing with that spirit of fear. And though you're in the storm, you just need an opportunity to hear God say, peace be still. I want to give you an opportunity to come out to the altar and let our altar workers just minister to you. You may be dealing with the spirit of fear, or you just may be in a storm of life right now. And that you feel like the winds and the waves and the spirit have rocked you to the core. And you could be similar to the disciples, and you don't know what's going on, and you just want to cry out to God for help. I want to also give you an opportunity to come out to the altar and let our altar workers minister to you during this time in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Is your storm, is your anchor in the Lord? Is it in the rock? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands all over the building. Come on, you all. Lift your hands all over the building. Certainly, let's give God a wonderful hand clap of praise. Lift your hands and just close your eyes right now. Dennis, just begin to minister. Come out of that song. Go into somewhere else. Come on, just lift your hands all over the building. For many of you, this message just spoke right to your spirit. Just hit you. The Holy Spirit was speaking to you, tugging on your heart, speaking to you as a son, speaking to you as a daughter. And you know, unequivocally, this message really has identified with where you are. You need to readjust your anchor, your foundation, your footing. Some of you have slipped a little bit. Some have not slipped, but your faith has been tried. Your faith has been tested repeatedly. You know who you are. Father is speaking to you right now. What I want you to do is I want you to just come right from where you are and just meet me. Just meet me here at this altar right now. You're just saying, Pastor, yeah, I've been. I know I've been tested, tried. Thank you. They're coming. Come on, just move right from where you are. This is not about anybody else. No need to look around. That's it. Just move from right where you are. Say, you know what? I've just been tried. Some of you that are coming out, you say, I love the Lord, but I've been tested, man. I'm losing a little bit. Yeah. Things are starting to dissipate from me. I yet love the Lord, but just some things are hitting me in life. Believe me, they hit all of us. Never let a man or woman tell you that his or her faith has not been tried. No matter how long you love Jesus, there's no qualification age where you no longer have your faith tried on a daily basis. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, who is navigating what is happening. You just feel that touch, that soft, gentle touch that'll lead you right here to this area. Thank you for those of you who have come and are yet coming courageously to this altar to receive ministry. Altar workers, if you would, could you just kindly come and just begin to minister with these sons and these daughters at the altar. Just need a couple of men. I got a couple of men up here. Thank you, Lord. If you all can exercise some holy patience during this time of ministry right now. I know God is just working among us. bless your name, Lord. The Lord speaks to you right from where you are. Just come on down. Just come on down. Receive prayer. I want us to touch and agree with any man or woman here today that needs to come down to this altar. And you just need somebody to agree with you in prayer. You've got some things going on in your life. You just said, Pastor, I just need somebody to agree with me in prayer. Got a few things going on. I just want somebody to just touch and agree with me. I want somebody to pray for me. It might be for you. It might be for a loved one. But just wherever you are, just come on down and we'll touch and we'll agree with you in prayer. Amen. Amen. Wherever you are, just come on down. See, I just need somebody to touch and agree with me in prayer. That's all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Prayer changes things, man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. If we could we give God a hand clap for what he's doing? There's things happening here at this altar area. What a rich, rich, rich word. What a rich word. I'm telling you, there are gifts that the body of Christ has, and I'm so proud that many of those gifts are represented within this wonderful congregation that we have here. That was a weighty word, you all. That was a weighty word. I'm telling you, I thank God for using my spiritual son as he has used him today. I'm gonna make a statement that some of you know, but then for some of you it'll kind of illuminate some things in your life. The reality is that you're anchored to something. And it's either light or it's darkness. There's no in between. You either anchor to the Lord or you're not. There's no in between areas. And he so wonderfully expounded on the multiple areas of it in our lives. What did you say? The word will, what was it, perfect? Correct. Storms will correct. Correct. Perfect. And protect. And I'm telling you, and I know I'm speaking for many of us here, when you've been through a few storms in your life, my Lord, you know that, my Lord, there's so many just golden nuggets And certainly, as my spiritual father says to my life, you know, you don't compare. It's oftentimes, it's so unfair to compare storms. Amen. Now we share, amen, but not compare. Because the Bible says that the Lord said, he said, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. Yeah, so the fact of the matter, sometimes you say, you know what? Sometimes we'll say to somebody, I could have never survived that. And the reality is that's why you didn't go through it like that, though. That's exactly, because God already knows that. God already knows that. To God be the glory. Keep Cheryl Cox, who's one of our faithful members here, keep her covered and encouraged in prayer. She lost her 41-year-old daughter about a week ago. The funeral services were just this past weekend. Keep her in prayer. Now, she is as strong as she's powerful. Cheryl's powerful. But whenever you lose a loved one, there you are right there. I didn't even know you were here, Cheryl and Marla. Bless God. I didn't even see you over there. Bless God. Your family, we love you so much, Cheryl and Marla. Just stick your hands up. We love y'all so much. We are covering you and your family. Tara is dancing with Jesus right now. One thing I know about Cheryl and Marla, they are anchored in the Lord. Because nobody, and I mean nobody, can celebrate as they both did at the funeral, at the homegoing. Just the other day, they celebrated. That place was strong with authority and power, but it's because they're anchored in the Lord, Bill. They anchored in the Lord, man. My God. Thank you, Lord. Once again, man of God, we thank you so much. We love you. We thank you for sharing and just pouring into us today. Amen. Just pray for a refilling over your life now in the name of Jesus. Let me speak the blessing over you. Many of you are available on Wednesday nights. If you are, make sure you make your way down to 114 East Liberty around the corner for our Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. I want to speak the blessing over you, if you would. Keep your eyes open. We're then going to make our way out there into the foyer area to greet many of you. Listen, we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming, and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. It's God intended for your very purpose. We bless this season of your life. I do decree and I declare that this season, and you will remain in this season, where you'll be anchored unto the Lord. Amen. And I believe that you're walking in your best season no matter what you see. This is your best season. We bless your homes, your jobs. We bless your finances, and we certainly bless your health and your well-being. I tell you each and every week, and I'll do it until the Lord says otherwise. He's given us one life to live. All we can do is live the very best that we can. Be excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that you do what?
Give it away.
Can you love on somebody around you if you would? Love on them. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. See you Wednesday night and next Sunday. God bless you.